19 and verse 10.
The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's what he came to do. He came to seek out lost and to save them. Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. And he went forth to find those that were scattered, those sheep that were lost, that were outside of his salvation, that were sheep, the Bible says, without a shepherd. He says that at one point he had compassion on them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. They were looking for leadership. They were looking for someone to care for them. The scribes and the Pharisees had used them. The scribes and the Pharisees had used them to promote themselves, to promote their religion and to indemnify themselves and establish themselves as a powerful political and social force in that world. But they hadn't done much for the people. He said to them that you bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne upon the poor, but you don't lift a finger yourself. And so that's how he found these sheep, these lost sheep of the house of Israel, and he's seeking them out. He's seeking them out, and we see that in Luke chapter 5, but we also see that people are seeking him. We know that his first conversation with Peter, Andrew had brought his brother Peter to Christ and said, hey, we've found him. We've been looking for someone too, right? So that's why Jesus Christ said, seek and ye shall find. And so Christ was seeking the lost, but we see here that people were seeking him as well. If you look at Luke 5 and verse 1, it says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake. Look at here at chapter 5, and look what he says in verse 32. I said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so Jesus Christ came to call people, and people were following him. Now, a lot of them weren't looking for what Christ wanted to give them. They're just looking for miracles. But look what it says here in Luke chapter 5 and verse 15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of their infirmities. And so we see that people are pressing on him to the point that in verse 16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And so people are seeking him as well. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And so Jesus Christ was sought after as much as he was seeking. And in Luke chapter 5, what I want to do this morning is just want to go through some different types of seekers. Some different types of seekers. And, look at here at verse 15. So much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. You know what we see, first of all, in the book of Luke, as we see popular seekers? We see the crowd, right? There was a crowd that always followed Jesus Christ. How could there not be? He's a great preacher. He's a great teacher. But also because he helped them out, he healed them, touched them. He did things that no one else could do. He said that they pressed upon him. And you know what they were there for? They were there for the miracles. That's what they were there for. In fact, that's what he says to them. He tells them, you're here because of the loaves. You're here because of the loaves. You're here, like the preacher said last week, you're here for me to bless you. And look, we get a lot from the Lord. Amen? We get a lot from the Lord. And we need what the Lord has for us. But you know, this same multitude that was, hey, you got to see this guy, the same people that crucified him. It was the crowd that sought after him. It was the crowd that wore him out. It was the crowd that even after a full day of healing, they were knocking on the door at the house, at the hotel where he was staying, and saying, hey, can you help us out? And it was the same people that crucified him. You know, and he helps. He'll help the popular seeker. He will. Why? Because that's just who he is. The Bible says that he healed them all. But if you see in verse 16, it says, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. There's going to be a time when he's going to withdraw. In fact, he says in the book of John, he says that Jesus didn't commit himself unto them because he knew all men and he knew what was in men. And that's what the Lord will do with the crowd. And if we're only looking to God for what we think we need, right? For our apparent need, right? There's gonna be a point where that relationship can't go any further. You know, we see in the book of John in chapter 6, when Christ preached that sermon, that hard sermon about eating the flesh of the Son of Man and drinking his blood, which we know was in type, it says that a lot of his disciples went left and didn't follow him anymore. And all I'm saying this morning is that when we follow Christ just for what we think we need, there's going to be a point where we're not going to get anything else from him and where that relationship isn't going to continue. It says he withdrew himself. And you see Christ spending a lot of time with the disciples. A lot more time with the disciples than he does with the crowd. And we want to see, if we can see ourselves in these seekers this morning, perhaps we can get some help. It says here in verse 2, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into the one ship, which was Simon's. We know Simon by another name. We know him as Simon Peter. And you know what Simon was? This is the third time the Lord invites Peter to follow him. Right? The third time. We already talked about this. But you know what Peter is? He's a distracted seeker. He's a distracted seeker. He knows that the Lord has something he needs, and he knows that the Lord is probably the Messiah, but he's got other stuff going on. He's got other things to do. He's got to go fishing. He's a distracted seeker. And we see the Lord pursuing him. And make no mistake about it, and this is the mind of God, okay? But God pursues some people more than others. He said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Is that what he said? God pursued Israel more than he pursued the Gentiles in the Old Testament. That's fair, right? God reveals things to his people through his word that he doesn't reveal to a lost man. Amen? Why? We have a closeness to him through Jesus Christ that a lost man doesn't. Even though the Lord is not willing that any should perish, he's available to all, but he has a closeness with some more than others. And he's pursuing Peter more than he pursues other people, right? The multitudes, they're thronging him, and he's doing everything he can for them. But Peter, he's actually going after him. And you know, I hope that I could be that guy. I hope I could be that guy that the Lord says, like, I'd like to use him. I'd like to use her, you know. In fact, I'd be bothered if the Lord didn't speak to me, if I didn't feel the Lord chasing me, if I didn't feel the Lord knocking on the door of my heart and saying, hey, Dave, what about this? I would be bothered. I'd be bothered. Why? Because I want to have a relationship with Christ. And I think some of you do too. But what is Peter? He's just like all of us. He's distracted. The Bible talks about the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And we get distracted. And the Lord, listen, is the original psychotherapist, right? The Lord knows how to deal with Peter just like he knows how to deal with everybody, right? He gives him a direct request. He says, hey, I need your boat. You know what the distracted seeker needs? If you're struggling with distraction this morning, you know what you need? You need a direct request from the Lord. Hey, I need you to do this, right? Focus here. Focus on this. Find a direct request from the Lord for you. You ever just sit back and take stock of your Christian life or any part of your life? Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's where am I going? Maybe it's I haven't taught my kids anything this year. You know, you ever have those take stock of yourself moments? Like every night. Right? You ought to take stock. And you ought to ask the Lord, do you have anything for me to focus on? Because I get distracted easily. Some of you are distracted right now. It's not going to make my sermon any shorter. You know what you need? You need an engaging project. You know what he said, go out there and go fishing. You know, you need to find something to get engaged in. You need something to commit yourself to. Peter's a man who gets distracted, so the Lord gave him something that he could do with his hands. You ever have a kid like that? They need something to do with their hands? What? They need something to stay busy, right? Not all of our kids are, oh, that's a future Rhodes Scholar right there. Boy, you're going to go far. Not all of our kids are like, oh, I could see you running for president. All right, let's just be honest. Some of them are like, welding school. It's okay. It's okay, but some people, they need to be engaged with something. And if you tend to be distracted, you need to ask the Lord for something that you can actually put your hands to. And a lot of us are like that, and that's okay, right? The Lord knows Peter. The Lord knows that Peter's probably not the guy like Mary that's going to be like, no, what about the 144,000? That's probably not Peter. And I'm looking at some men here this morning. You could care less about the 144,000. You could care less about the whole book of Revelation. You're just not wired that way. But you do love God. You know what you need to ask? You need to ask for something engaging, something that you can do. And the Lord does that for Peter, right? He challenges his faith. He said, Lord, we've fished all night. We haven't got anything. And you know what the distracted person needs? They need a challenge. You need to be challenged. You need something that kind of wakes your brain up a little bit. Something that, man, I've never done that before. Or I've done that before and he's asking me to do it again. What's wrong with him? I'm going to prove him wrong. Or whatever. Whatever it is. But the Lord challenged his faith. And then, you know what happened? He caught all those fish. It was more than he'd ever caught before. The net break, right? Because he didn't fully obey the Lord. And Peter got a lesson in values. Because he said, this is what I can do this for you. You can catch fish all day. You can make money all day. You can get educated all day, right? But there are some things that are more precious than these fish. He says, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. You know what the distracted seeker needs? The distracted seeker needs a lesson in values. Meaning what? Meaning when you get to heaven, that big fish or that big deer is going to be... It's going to be nothing, especially when the Lord reminds you that you worked with people, that you knew people that are burning in a devil's hell because you didn't tell them about Jesus Christ. The Lord's not going to be like, oh my goodness, I know, I've been following you. Oh my goodness, that picture you took in Cabo, amazing, the angle. You think that's what the Lord cares about? He's not interested. He's interested in his glory. He's interested in his glory. And you know what the distracted person needs? Because sometimes we blame our distraction on just the way we are. But let's face it, sometimes we're distracted from the things of God because we just don't care about them. Because if you're driving down the road today and you get a flat tire, you know what is going to keep your attention until you get it fixed? The flat tire. Amen. If you go to Country Harvest Foods in to get some chicken, hallelujah, Brother Josh, amen, in Hungry Horse, and you get shot, which can happen, I guarantee you, if you get a bullet hole in you, it will keep your attention, right? And you know why the things of God can't keep our attention? Because we don't care, that's why. Yes, that's right. Or you could pay attention, because you don't care. Because I've talked to you for 3 and 4 hours about hunting and fishing and everything else. But when the Bible is opened, some people fall asleep. Why? Just be honest, okay? Just be real. You're not fooling me. You're definitely not fooling God. Because we don't care that much, okay? And look, I many times fall into the distracted seeker category. I get very distracted here. I distract myself when I'm preaching up here all the time. Squirrel, you know? What do we need? We need a lesson in values. Sure, you can have these fish all day, but I want you to catch men, Peter. Are you with me? Look at verse 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. Now that would keep your attention. What's leprosy? It's a disease that rots the skin off of your body. Literally. Right? It's a bacteria, right? Is it bacteria or virus? You do know. It's whirling around in there. Amen. I'm pretty sure it's a bacteria. right? It's flesh-eating bacteria or virus. Either one of it, it's horrible. I don't know if you've ever had a flesh-eating bacteria or virus, but it is not fun. You know, if I have something in my leg, had. How's it going? How y'all doing? Years ago, right? I knew a gal in Tonga, went to our church, and she had an infection on her leg, and they waited too long, and her mom kept putting leaves on it, and finally she went to the hospital, and that what was a boil had basically started to rot out her whole calf, and the doctor put his tweezers in there, but they don't call them tweezers in the medical field, and pulled out like a piece of her shin bone that long. That's waiting a little too long to go to the doctor, you know. Leprosy eats your body. And you were not, they were to go around covering their lips saying, unclean, unclean, don't get close to me. Don't get close to me. It was a thing that kept other people away from you. They were to go to the priest, and the priest was to look at it and say, oh, is it yellow? Is it white? Is there a hair in it? And say, oh, actually, you're getting better or you're getting worse. You have to leave town. That's why they showed themselves to the priest. The priest had a protocol that he followed to diagnose them. But this man was full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. He charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. You know what we see here? We see a desperate seeker. And I don't know if you've ever been desperate for God, but this man's desperate. Because if Christ can't help him, no one can. And he's heard. He's heard that Christ can help him. And he's heard that he's healing the sick and raising the dead. And so he's desperate. And you know what the desperate seeker needs? And you know this if you've ever been desperate. He needs an immediate touch. Have you ever been in a situation where you're like, I need help right now? Like, if I don't get help right now, things are going to fall apart. Like, I need God, and I need him now. And you know what that leper had to do? That leper had to do something that he had trained himself not to do with having his disease. He had to get close to someone. He had to get close enough for the Lord to touch him. And for some reason, when we are desperate and when we have something that is embarrassing or we have something that is really taking over our life, it's strange that the last thing we want to do is get close to the people that can help us. Isn't that weird how we do that? We tend to withdraw when we're hurting. We tend to withdraw. And, you know, this man without Christ is not getting healed. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've had some victory in your life because you bit the bullet and you were willing to be uncomfortable and get some help. Have you ever been in that situation? Yeah. Amen. That's what the desperate seeker needs. The desperate seeker needs an immediate touch. And you have to get close. You have to get close. You have to get close to someone that maybe you're on. You might experience a little discomfort. That leper came to Christ. He said, can you make me clean? And he pulled that veil back from his face and showed the Lord his sores on his eyes and his lips drooped down and holes in his face. Reached forth a rotting hand and said, can you help this? He had to get close enough for the Lord to see what he was like and what had happened to him. But we have to. And you know what? The Lord touched him. I love that. I love that the Lord will touch what no one else will touch. Yeah. I love that. Every one of us has things about ourselves we don't want anyone else to know. Every one of us is embarrassed about some of our thoughts and some of our attitudes, maybe something in our past. But you know what? The Lord, we won't want people to touch us. We don't want people to get close. If people really knew me, they would not like me. But you know, the Lord will touch the man that no one else will touch. And if you think that no one can handle what you've got going on, the Lord can. The Lord can. And you know what he says? He said, go show yourself to the priest. I'll say this about the desperate seeker. You need to be seen by someone. Now, maybe you've never had anyone say that to you in your life, but I have had people say that to me. You need to be seen by someone. And that's what the Lord said, right? And that takes some submission and it takes some humility. But if you have that, if you're desperate, don't withdraw. Be seen. Be seen. Be helped. Let's look what he says here in 17. It came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. Here's the big wigs. Here's the smart guys. Here's the educated people. Here's the know-it-alls. Pharisees of the doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present to heal the Pharisees just like it was for anyone else. Unfortunately, they didn't get it. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. That's a disease, like a nervous system disease. It curls you up and you can't, you eventually lose the ability to reach out and you lose the ability to walk. And you get just curled up in the bed. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find what way they might bring him in, because the house was full, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. You know what these guys did? They couldn't get their friend into Christ, so they went up on the roof and tore the roof apart. Can you imagine being in that room where Jesus is teaching and all of a sudden the roof starts coming apart? Someone, all of a sudden a leg comes through the sheetrock. Whoa, don't fall through, Bill. You know? And they're kicking and insulation starts falling down. It's like, what is going on? He's disrupting the whole meeting. They're doing this for their friend. And they kick out a hole big enough so they can tie some paracord, you know, that I'm sure they have with them, right? And lower their friend down in the midst and put him right in front of Jesus. They interrupted the service. Well, I wouldn't care if you interrupted the service this morning if you were going to get saved or get right with God. I'd love if you interrupted it right now. And when they could not find by what way they bring him in, they let him down with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, see that faith, it's action. He saw their faith. He said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee, which seems a little off, right? I thought you were going to heal him. But he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? You know what we have in this passage? We have problem seekers. The Lord's been healing people left and right. But all the Pharisees are sitting by, and the power of the Lord would be present to heal them too. But you know what? You don't hear them open their mouth until they find something wrong. Ugh. He said that. That's what some people do. I don't know why anyone would ever do this. Why would a person waste their time going to church to look for a problem? Like, just don't go. Right? Why waste your time? Right? There's a lot of things to do around here. I think some people think that serving God is finding problems with the brethren. I'm like, well, I served you today, Lord. I found 16 things wrong in our church. The burden is great, but you've given this to me. This is my burden, to be bothered by what is said, and be bothered by what someone wears, and be bothered by the way someone clicks their pen, which we all are. You know, I'm teasing, right? It's been a rough day serving you, Lord, but I know you put me on this earth to find out problems with your word and with your people and with your church. And I think some people actually think they're serving God in that way. Problem seekers. Problem seekers. And you know, the power is present, but to no avail. And you know what the problem seeker does is he justifies himself by condemning other people. The problem seeker doesn't get any help for himself. He just excuses his lack of faith, right, and his lack of trust, and he excuses his inability or his lack of desire to commit by finding something wrong with the system or finding something wrong with the Lord, right? I must be okay because they're wrong. But them being wrong doesn't make you right. You could both be wrong. But for some reason, we think that if we can point out errors in others, that that we look good. That's not necessarily true. Not necessarily true. We're both just messed up. But in this case, obviously, Christ isn't messed up at all. But that's a problem seeker. And that's what you have. You have problem seekers. You have people that justify themselves by condemning others. In verse 22, when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? You know what the problem seeker gets? The problem seeker just from Christ just gets a question. That's what, you know what the questioners of Christ and the questioners of God need? They need a question put to them. You know what God said to Job? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Answer that question, right? You're going to correct me with a brain that in a few years the worms are going to be eating, right? You listen, you can't even make one hair white or black. And you know what the problem seeker needs? He needs the questions put to him instead of... He puts himself in a position of strength by being the one asking the questions. But Christ always turns it back on them. Remember they said, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Trying to trap him. And he says, I'll also ask you a question. So your system, how's that working out for you? What wisdom can I get from you? Right, your values, your philosophy, right? Is it bringing you peace? Is it bringing you joy? Is it bringing you contentment? We need, that's what Christ does. He puts it back on them. And you know, one of these days, when we stand before God, we're not going to be the ones answering the questions, asking the questions. He's going to be asking the questions. You know what else we see in this passage? We see seekers for another. Seekers for another. These guys had a friend that had a problem, and they were seeking for him. And, I think all of us find ourselves there sometimes. We have someone that we really care about that needs help. Right? And Christ honors, honors these men for their effort and heals their friend. We see seekers for another. And I bet I'm talking to people in here this morning that are seekers for another. I bet some of you have kids that are astray from the Lord. We prayed for some of them last night. I bet some of you have parents or aunts or uncles or brothers or sisters that don't know Jesus. And it's in your mind and in your heart every day. You're a seeker for another. You're a seeker for another. And it's a great, it's a great example to follow because Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. But you know what the seekers for another need? And I know I'm talking to some seekers for another this morning. The seekers for another need gumption. You need fortitude and you need commitment. Why? Because sometimes the people we pray for, more than likely, they're not going to change tomorrow. It might be a year or two or 10 years or 20 years. And you know what these guys did? They had some gumption. They had some fortitude. They kept at it. They were committed. All right? And you're going to need that when you're a seeker for another. You're going to need some commitment. These guys were so committed, they ripped the roof off to get their friend to Jesus. And the seeker for another needs to be as committed as they want the another to be. Right? I want people to trust Christ, so I should be a true follower of Jesus. Right? Because I'll tell you what happens sometimes with the seeker for another. Our focus is so much on getting another saved that we never tend for the things of our own heart. Moms, that can happen with your kids. Why? Why? Because your life is wrapped up in them. You need to remember to have your own walk with the Lord, your own prayer life, your own little quiet time when you can let the Lord recharge you. Because they're going to wear you out. Yeah. We are seekers for another. We do care about others. But remember, when you lower your friend into the room, drop down yourself and listen to what Jesus says. Remember to get what you need for you. Yep. Seekers for another. Don't forget to get, the seeker for another might have to put up with some embarrassment and some awkwardness. What are you guys doing? That's my house. Yeah, I guess we'll have to pay you back, Zachariah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I don't think it's their house. Maybe it is. Maybe it's the Grange Hall. Maybe it's the Elks Club. I don't know what it is. But even then, someone's going to get upset about you ripping their roof off. And you know what the seeker for another has to do? They have to put up with some awkwardness. Right? You do what? You go to church how often? You read the Bible how much? You believe that? You don't believe in abortion? Right? I mean, all the questions that a Christian gets asked that the world is like, What is wrong with you? And you know what the seeker for another has to remember? I'm going to have to put up with some awkwardness. I'm going to have to put up with some uncomfortable situations if I'm going to get someone to Jesus. I hope that's an encouragement to you, because it's going to happen. I know. You invite a friend to church and you're like, they're not saved, or you know, you want them to hear some Bible teaching, and I know what you're doing. You're praying the whole time that I don't say anything that offends them. And invariably I do, even on my best day. See, I just wish I could bring a friend to church and you would never say anything that upset anybody. If I never said anything that upset anybody, I wouldn't be preaching. I don't purposely ever try to hurt anybody. I don't. But the Bible is the Bible. The truth is the truth, right? And sometimes people are going contrary to God. And there's going to be a collision. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. And we need to be okay with that awkwardness. Amen. Now look at this. Verse 27. And after these things went he forth. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just kind of going through the passage. And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. His name, other name was Matthew. This guy's a publican. You know what a publican is? It's a Jew that collects taxes from the Jews for the Romans. Popular fellow. I bet everybody liked him. I bet everybody loved that guy. I mean, just like you love the tax man. I don't know if there is a tax man anymore. It used to be. When I was a kid, my mom actually went and sat with the tax man every year. Went into the IRS office. None of us would do that because we hate the tax man, you know. But she was from Minnesota, you know. They believe in the government of the people and that they're there to help you. And God bless her. She's actually in a place now, amen, where the people are there to help her. Amen. With the Lord. But no one likes the publican. In fact, they probably walk by the publican and think, if that guy will probably never get saved. I bet if I gave him a tract, he'd throw it back in my face. That's the last person. But actually, those are the people that Christ reached. And you know what this man is? He's a potential seeker. He's an unexpected seeker. He's someone that you would have no idea he would respond this way. Look what it says. He saw a man named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. He said to him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. That's about the last thing you expected. If you just walked down the street, you know, this morning before church and said, hey, I'm going to church, right? And the worst person that you can think of just said, why not? And followed you into church. You would have never thought that Levi would have been the one. You would think the scribes and the Pharisees that knew the word of God and were, you know, had all the right clothes and all the right language, you'd think those were the ones that would have followed Jesus Christ. They were actually the furthest away from Jesus Christ. This man's a potential seeker and he just needed an invitation. He just said, hey, follow me. He's like, oh, okay. Why? Because you have no idea what's going on in Matthew's mind. And you wouldn't have unless Christ would have invited him. Sometimes people surprise you. So put it out there. You with me? Good, because there's one more. Verse 18, behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when he could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop. You know what else we see here this morning? We see a lame seeker. If you couldn't see yourself in any of the other people, you could definitely see him in the lame seeker. Because, you know, someone else had to carry this guy in. And I feel like, especially where we are in this country spiritually, a lot of us are lame seekers. We're lame seekers. What's a lame seeker? It's someone that someone else brought. It's someone that can't bring themselves or doesn't want to bring themselves. You know, and this isn't even totally like a knock, right? Most kids are lame seekers. Sure. What? Why? Your parents brought you to church. Wasn't your choice. Someone else brought you. Most teenagers are lame seekers. I'm not trying to call you lame, all right? Right? But we're going to know one of these days if this is your thing. Right? If it's in your heart. That's why teenagers are a mission field, right? Right? Because you're not technically, a lot of you, you're not necessarily here because you decided to be here, although a lot of you want to be here. You guys definitely want to be here, or you wouldn't have come. Right? But we all have a certain lameness to us. We do. The lame seeker. And in many ways, all of us are lame in some ways. Yeah. What? In the sense that we need the Lord or we're not going to get help. In the sense that we need other people. In the sense that we need the church, that we need fellowship, that we need help from other people to bust the tiles and lower us down to get us in front of Jesus Christ. A lot of us are lame seekers. And the healing of this man, it's really the heart of this passage. And you know, you might not be a potential seeker or a desperate seeker, but I think all of us can see ourselves in some shape or form in the lame seeker. And I just want to say this, just a couple things here, if you're going to get help this morning. Because I think that, I hope that's why you're here, to get something. Right? And if you're going to get help from Jesus, and you know what you see in this passage? You see Jesus helping a lot of people. He helps he helps Peter, and he helps the leper, and he helps Levi, and he helps the multitudes, right? And he could have helped the Pharisees if they would have let them. And he helps everybody that came to him from help. In fact, Jesus Christ said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And if you need help this morning, the Lord can help you. All right? Lord can help you. And I'll just say this. If you're going to get help this morning, I want to say that Jesus needs to be teaching. That Jesus needs to be there. In verse 17, it came to pass a certain day as he was what? As he was teaching. You know, Christ's presence, we know that Jesus isn't literally here today in his body. But Jesus Christ said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Right? He said this. He said that that Holy Spirit that I send to you, the Spirit of Christ, he says that he will come to you and he will guide you into all truth. And then he says this, he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And if you're going to get help this morning, Jesus needs to be teaching. You need to hear something from the Lord. I know you're listening to me, but you need to know that it is the Lord speaking through his word that's going to help you. Right? You need to filter through the me. You need to filter through the distractions. You need to filter through the back of the person's head in front of you that's bobbing and weaving. You need to filter past the person that's clicking their pen, right? Or whoever. You need to filter past those things and understand that when we are under the sound of the preaching of God's word, we are sitting in our living room and the scriptures are open, that Jesus Christ is present, that the power of the Lord is present. And we need to be where the Lord is. If you're going to get help, you need to be in front of his word. You need to be where he speaks because his presence is in his word. And then I'll show you this. It says down here in verse 20, "And when he saw their faith, he said unto him," that's the guy in the bed, he said, "Man, thy sins be forgiven thee." I'll say this, Jesus needs to be teaching if you're going to get help this morning. But also this, you need to be seen by Jesus. You need to be seen by Jesus. I said earlier, you need to be seen by someone, right? And when you're seen by someone, you know, have you ever been seen by someone? That means you go to the doctor and you tell him what's going on and he says, "And is this happening in the morning or the evening? Or do you feel it more in the a.m. or in the p.m.? Or And on the pain chart, 0 to 10, about where would it be? And is it now, is it down here low, you know, like, down here is the pain like up here under your sternum, right? You're being seen. You need to be seen by someone. And you know what? If you're going to get help this morning, Jesus has to see you. Because you know what people do? They go and they watch Jesus. They go and they watch preaching. They go and they watch the word of God and the things of God like it's the circus. But we need to remember that when we are in the presence of God, that we want him to see us. That we want him to evaluate us. That not we are not to judge his word, but we are allowing his word to judge us. I want you to see me. I want you to evaluate me. The Bible says about his word that it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible says that when a man looks into that perfect law of liberty, it's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, that Bible is a mirror, and in that Bible we see ourselves. We are not spectators to something that we are separate from. That book, this is the only book in the world that reads you when you're reading it. And you know that's true. You know it's true. Because it's like, yeah, that's me. Wow, do you live in my house? We need to be seen by him. We need to be seen by him. Isaiah was seen by Jesus. He saw the Lord in that temple and he said, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. Why, he saw himself compared to the Lord. Elijah was seen by Jesus. What doest thou here, Elijah? David was seen by Jesus. Blessed is the man to whom you will not impute it. Does the Lord see you? Really, I want to ask you a question. When's the last time you allowed yourself to be seen by the Lord? For him to actually see you. Peter was seen by Jesus. I mean, are you looking at his word today? But the bigger question is the word looking at you? And I know what the answer is. I'll let it look at me if it can in the next 15 minutes, you know? But we need a pronouncement from Jesus as well. You know what Jesus said? He said, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. We need the Lord to speak. We need the Lord to tell us what the real problem is. Yeah, I was going to say it, but I'm not going to. David said, search me, O God, try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. Look, the funny thing about this whole deal is that most of you, and I haven't known you long, but look, most of you probably, if you've known me 7 or 10 years, if you're honest with yourself, and if I'm honest with myself, most of us have the same problems today that we had 7 years ago. Most people that I know that have marriage problems still have them. Most people I know that have health problems still have them. Most people that I know that have emotional problems, anxiety problems, still have them. To the point that sometimes you wonder if the Word of God is actually working. The truth is that we're all human. And we all have infirmities of the flesh, and some of those things are never going away. But if you haven't learned in being in the presence of Jesus and in being in the presence of his word on how to bear that burden and how to mitigate the effects of that burden and how to live triumphantly and fruitfully in spite of that infirmity and in spite of that problem, then you haven't been seen by Jesus. You've just been watching him. Search me, O God. And you know what the Lord does? He addresses an issue that you didn't think was the issue. The issue is he's lame. But you know what the real issue is? The real issue is sin. He says, thy sin be forgiven thee. And I think that in the day and age we live in, we diagnose every problem as a psychological problem. And there are psychological problems. Don't get me wrong. I know that. But a lot of sin can manifest itself as a psychological problem. And if you don't believe that, look at King David, who killed one of his best men because he was drowning in sin. Sin is insane. And a lot of things that we consider psychological, and this is just going wrong in my head and I can't get the victory over it, is because there is something inside that needs to get right with God. And sometimes it's stubbornness, and sometimes it's churlishness, and sometimes it's pride, and sometimes it's lack of faith, right? But when we're seen by Jesus, you know what he will do? He will reveal to us the real problem. Because it's one thing to walk out of here being able to walk, having your palsy healed. But who cares if you're going to go to hell anyways? Spiritual issue, self-willed, implacable, blaming others for everything that happens, right? It's a sin. It's a sin. Are you growing in spite of your infirmities? Look what he says here in verse 21, the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, "Why reason ye in your heart? Whether is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that ye know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thy house.'" You know what we need this morning? We need a command from Jesus, just like Peter. We need specific instructions. Say, why do you say that? Because I think sometimes as Christians, we fall into this cycle. Oh, of confession and repentance, not real repentance. Oh, of getting chastened. Oh, of getting encouraged. I think we fall into this cycle where we oftentimes treat the Lord like a therapist who sees us, who listens to our problems. We lay on the couch and tell him about our week. But yet we walk out of there unchanged or blaming our parents for the way we are. And you know what the Lord said to this man? In fact, he said it to another man that he healed. He said, "Neither did this man sin nor his parents that he was born blind." And sometimes we just need you know what we need from the Lord? We need specific instructions. We need a command. We need something to obey. And I would ask you that. I'd ask you that when you open your Bible in the morning, when you listen to the preaching on your podcasts or you know, at the gym, when we're under the sound of the instruction, is there anything that we walk out of and like, "I'm going to obey that this week. I'm going to trust his word this week. I'm going to grow in this area," right? Or are we just going to church, right, and the Lord is just pumping up the life vest for one more week? Give me your floaty. There, go spinning off into the pool. That's what we do as Christians. We spin off into the pool, right? Who knows where the warm spots come from, right? Right? And then we bump back into the Lord, you know, next Sunday. You know what? It'd be nice, you know, at some point, let's learn how to swim. Amen! Learn how to swim, right? Throw the kids with the floaties in the pool, you know? Amen. Dunk them. We need specific instructions. We ought to be looking. We ought to be looking to change and to improve by his word, not just to be entertained, not just to be spoken to, like, "Okay, all right, there you go. All right, I listened to you. I listened to you, Lord. Okay, I read my Bible." No. I want to be seen by you. I want you to tell me what the real problem is. And I want to walk out of here different than when I came in. Amen. I'll amen myself. You know, just so you know, the man that trained me to preach taught me to preach on the street. So I'm used to preaching to people that aren't listening or cussing at me. So, I'm unperturbed. It actually makes me want to, like, dig a deeper hole, stick more dynamite in there, and, like, keep going. You know, today's opposite day. One more thing. Verse 24. "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, rise and take up thy couch and go into thine house." The way the Lord heals people is amazing. I don't see him do this a lot of times. Okay, here. Your arm bad? Okay. Okay, now how's that feel? Move it a little bit. Shrug your shoulders. Okay. He does that one time, but not most of the time. You know? All right, wiggle your fingers. No. He says to the guy whose arm is about to fall off, "Throw me a baseball." That's how he does it. He looks at this guy and he says, "Get up and walk." He doesn't like take him through a bunch of exercises and physical therapy. He looks at a guy who can't walk and says, "Walk." You know what that is? It takes some faith. And I'll tell you, and I'm just learning this, the key to following the Lord is just doing what you don't think you can do. That's how you grow. know what the Lord asks you to do when you get saved? Stop trusting your baptism. Stop trusting your confirmation. Stop trusting your keeping of the Ten Commandments, right? And trust wholly in the righteousness of Jesus Christ to keep you out of a devil's hell, to wash you in his blood. And you know, for some people, that's really hard. It is! To admit that what they were taught was wrong, to accept that I just have to receive it as a free gift and that I can't earn it. You know, what you have to do, the Lord has to actually help you with that faith. You have to almost say, Lord, I believe, like one man said, help thou my unbelief. Right? But this is how we change. This is how we change. We change in our Christian life when the Lord brings us to a place, just like it with salvation, just like, you know, when you first got saved, like, now you got to get baptized. What? Okay, but I'll do it. I got up in front of people and go under the water. Yeah, it's a simple act of obedience that identifies you with Christ. Okay, you get out, you feel better. You know you did the right thing. Right? And then you're like, read your Bible every day. Read? I don't read. Right? Amen. Give the first tenth of your income to the Lord. What? Right? All of these things are uncomfortable. Then you do them, and it's like now, right? We were talking about this the other day. It's just like second nature, right? But you know what we've done, Brother Jason? I do this. And in fact, the other day I was talking to the Lord about it, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. We're all just kind of sluggish. You know, church is kind of, you know. There's not a lot of interest. Where are we at here? And you know, of course, I don't know why I opened my big mouth. Because I'm praying to the Lord and I'm reading my Bible. And you know what the Lord said to me? Not audibly. It wasn't like, David. But it did came into my mind. What about you, Dave? Where are you sluggish? Where have you refused to grow? Because you know where we stop growing? We stop growing when we stop exercising faith in his commands. And you know, some Christians, they got saved. And the next thing that the Lord asked them to do, not for salvation, you're saved. But to grow, and they're like, I'm not doing that. And that's it. It's been 20 years and they haven't grown one iota since then. Because the Lord said, take up your bed and walk. And you said, I don't think I can do that. Oh, believe me. Just try, and it'll happen. You have to grow as a Christian, to get help. You have to, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And you have to be willing to do what you don't think you can do and what you don't want to do. And when you do that, by faith, obeying him, you walk out of there a different person. And so I'm not going to name any specifics this morning, but I would ask you as a Christian, and some of us have known the Lord a long time, and some of us have just got saved, okay? But wherever you're at in your life, what's the last thing the Lord told you to do that you were like, nope, I can't? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I don't know where you're at this morning with that, but that is the place that you have to get back to, and that is the step you have to take. And then you're going to keep growing. And you're going to get help. If you're in here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I mean, if you do not know that if you died today, you would go to heaven. If you don't know that, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He did that for us because we cannot make it on our own. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. But he didn't just die on the cross. He rose from the dead by his own power. And that resurrection gives him the power of eternal life. And he has the power to give you eternal life in heaven with him. And he did that for us because we're sinners and we're under the condemnation of God. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And if you're in here today and you say, you know what, I don't know. Maybe I prayed with my parents. Maybe I've always believed. This isn't an always believe thing. This is a receiving Christ for your own, as your own Savior, right? It's a matter of the will. It's an acceptance of a free gift. And if you have never done that, I invite you to do that today and take that first step. You say, I don't know if I can. I guarantee you, if you say, I'm going to receive Christ, he'll step right in and help you.